You may be seated. I'm going to talk a little trash today. Actually, I'm going to be talking a lot of trash.
Wow.
And yours and mine. And there's a lot of trash to talk about. This morning's message is titled Talking Trash, Spiritually Speaking. Okay? Talking Trash, Spiritually Speaking. Some of you might have seen my Facebook post earlier this week. I talked a little bit about trash when I posted it. And this is what it said. Not only do I think trash collection is near the top of the list of best values for tax dollars spent, there's just something refreshing and even spiritual about trash day. Waking up in the morning and realizing that someone who had nothing to do with creating it has taken all my garbage away.
Yes.
Sound familiar? And if it does, it's because you've probably read it in a number of places in Scripture, and our text is one of those places. Romans chapter 3. You'll turn there with me. Romans chapter 3, 19 through 26. You know, we're this month we've been talking about our partnership with the Lord, and we're ending that series this morning. And I couldn't think of a better way to end the series on partnership with the Lord than to talk about the foundation of this partnership. People will often say, you know, when you're in a spot where things aren't working, whether you're playing sports and you're in a slump, or you've got disoriented in some way because you've lost a job or you're sick or something that shakes you off of your equilibrium. They say, go back to your foundation. Go back to your roots. Or some say, go back to the one who brought you to the dance. You know, go make it simple. Simplify. Go back and recheck your bearings and go back and reestablish your foundation. So I'm going to be talking trash about that. And if we're looking at Romans 3, let's look at verse 19 and want to read through 26. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. Well, there you have it. There's the trash talk. Now, I'm using trash as a metaphor for sin. And if you're taking notes, the main idea that I want you to capture is this. Jesus didn't just come to talk trash with us. He came to take our trash away. Jesus didn't just come to talk trash with us. He came to take our trash away. John 3:17 tells us this word, tells us this marvelous and I think important truth. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn us for having trash. He sent him into the world to save us. And as the text says in verse 21, to bring to us a righteousness that's from God. This is why Jesus came. This is why we're here. This is why we're going to have communion this morning. We're going to have an extended communion. So I'm going to just set it up and then we're going to get into it. And it's going to have, we're going to have an active communion this morning. But it's important to understand what communion is all about. This passage, amongst many others, is what communion is all about. And I'm using trash as a metaphor because we can all relate to trash. So if you're taking notes, here's my first point that I want you to capture. Everybody has created some trash.
Yeah.
We can all relate to trash because all of us create it. Even our grandson knows about trash. So when he opens his little snack and he's all done, he goes to the trash can, pushes the lid, throws it in there. We can all relate to trash. My wife had me cracking up this morning talking about what she does with the trash of a paper towel after she's washed her hands in a public bathroom and how she opens the door with it and then she does the stretch, you know, trying to get it in the trash can. I told her sometimes I'll use the sleeve kind of method if you can't really get to the door with a paper towel. But we all understand trash, and everybody has created some. Everybody has created some trash. In verse 19, it says, every mouth may be silenced. When we stand before the Lord Jesus, it says that every mouth is going to be silenced. No one's going to be able to say, I didn't make any trash. We have all created trash. Verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have created trash. And God knows whose trash belongs to whom. So we may walk out on a littered field and we don't know who put that cup there and who put that straw there and who threw that thing there. But God knows not only about all the trash, but he knows whose trash belongs to whom. And that's why he said the whole world is going to have their mouths shut. All have sinned and fall short. The whole world, it says in verse 19, is going to be held accountable to God for the trash we have created. And God knows, as I said, who created what? You can dump it on the side of the road. I don't have it. Dump it on the side of the road. Pretend it isn't there. Deny that it's yours. But everybody's created trash and God knows to whom it belongs. Heaven is a trash-free environment. So people who have trash, who created trash, cannot be in heaven. Uh-oh. Not with trash. Heaven is a trash-free environment. It says this in Revelation. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Trash makers. Outside the gates. So heaven is a trash-free environment. It's, as Brother Bill would say, a clean room. Totally clean. Second, there's only one way to get rid of the trash. There's only one way to get rid of the trash. We, as human beings, as trash makers, we were in a serious jam. We were in a fix that we could not fix. But there is a way out. But only one way out. And verse 21 tells us that this is a righteousness that comes from God, not from us. It's a righteousness that comes from God. There's only one trash bag you can put it in. And it's the one that Jesus Christ is holding. Wow. That's the only one. Any other place we put it, we're still accountable. Only Jesus Christ. The one who's coming in mission, the passage says, his coming and his mission was prophesied by the prophets hundreds of years before he came. Hundreds of years before the fact of his birth. Jesus has paid for all the sins. The only question is, who will accept his payment? If Jesus doesn't pay for it, then we have to pay the fine for our own trash. And the fine for littering, spiritually speaking, is quite severe. I'm sorry?
I said just a bit.
Yeah, it's quite severe. It's so terrible that Jesus had to prevent it.
Yes.
By dying an excruciating death so that we would not be destroyed.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
And God promises to never bring the trash up again. This is the covenant I will make, says the scriptures. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. You know, I was inspired on trash collection day when they came and took my garbage, but, you know, I noticed that they weren't perfect. They left some in the bottom. There was some residual trash down there. You know, nothing gooey or icky, you know, just some of our grandson's diapers that got wedged in. So as exhilarating it is to have them take my trash away, they didn't take it all. Jesus took it all.
Yes.
He didn't leave any residue in the bottom of the can. I mean, he took it all and then took the can with him. No more collecting necessary. No more collecting necessary. You know, I posted that little thing on Facebook, and there's always one. You know, I'm trying to make this big case about trash collection. And Brian Cheeseboro says, yeah, but Jesus doesn't go on strike. That's true. Unlike the trash collectors, he doesn't go on strike. And John Wesley says, yeah, and Jesus isn't loud like that. So every analogy and metaphor will break down at some point. But the larger point is that all of us collected, all of us created trash. And there's only one place to get rid of the trash. God sent him into the world because he is the exclusive trash collector.
All right.
Nobody else could do it.
All right.
So, any other technique or person or scheme or strategy would have left residue. There's only one who could take it all. And that was Jesus. those of you who are listening, what is happening here, I am opening a black trash bag, and I am taking a piece of scotch tape from it, and I am putting this trash bag on the cross. You know, you're looking at this, and I know it's an eyesore. It's messing up our pretty cross. Well, the cross wasn't pretty.
No.
It was littered with our sins.
Amen.
It wasn't shiny. It wasn't smooth. And what happened on it wasn't pretty. Because on that cross, God took all of our trash and put it on Jesus Christ and punished him with the punishment that we deserve. Number three, trash pickup is free. And it comes with an incredible bonus. You see, it's one thing for him to take our sins away so that now we are trash free and able to enter into heaven in a trash free environment. And that was done when Jesus died on the cross and when we said yes to him. But there's so much more. In verse 24, it says, we've been justified freely. Justified freely. You don't have to pay. You don't have to do anything. But receive what he has done. Say, yes, I am a trash maker. And I receive you as the trash collector. I am a trash maker, Lord. I admit. I acknowledge. And I also recognize that you are a trash collector and that you came to collect my trash. And as the hymn goes, Jesus paid it all. Not Jesus paid some of it. Not Jesus paid half, now you pay half. Jesus paid it all. Jesus didn't pay most of it, he paid all of it.
Amen.
What do you get? You get pardon from sin, you get eternal life, but you also get the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we were talking about this at Bible study, that the Holy Spirit is a huge selling point for the gospel, because he is an amazing gift that we get.
Amen.
In Acts it says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Amen.
But there's more. You know those late night commercials? But there's more.
Right.
Yes, you will receive power and you will receive forgiveness when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But there is more. You'll receive much more than power. You'll receive his presence. And his incomparable, unfathomable, mysterious majesty, his support, his companionship. You get him living inside of you. You get 24/7 access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who promises to be there whenever you call. You get his help. Thank you, George. Abundantly available for help. You can draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need.
Yes, Lord. Thank
you. You get the presence of the living God living inside of you when you give Jesus your trash. He gives you forgiveness and he puts his spirit inside of you. so that you're inspired to walk in his ways, so that you're hungry to know him better, so that church doesn't become a prison sentence, but an opportunity to meet with the beloved brethren of the eternal kingdom of our Most High God.
Yes.
If you turn to your bulletin back, can I borrow a bulletin here?
Right.
You turn to your bulletin back. Here is part of that bonus. A long time ago, if you're looking at the view from my place, this is the next to the last page, or right next to your sermon notes. A long time churchgoer and recent visitor to our church was surprised to learn I've been a pastor for more than 30 years. She said, "You're so fresh." No, she didn't mean that other kind of fresh. She meant energized and enthusiastic. Her fascination is understandable, considering the fact that pastor is right at the top of the most likely to burn out list of careers. I attribute my difference to spending time at this fantastic spot. It's a small cafe, located nowhere in particular, but is everywhere I am. It's always open and a table is always reserved just for me. It's a place to taste the Lord's goodness and enjoy the wall hangings of his faithfulness. A place to process my disappointments and celebrate my victories and gain perspective on my challenges. Lord, thank you. It's a place to reconnect with my confidence. A place to refresh and refocus my dreams and hopes. The name of the cafe is My Seeking Heart. And its mission statement is found in the scriptures. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Alone with the Lord in my seeking heart, my emotions are releasable. My spirit becomes malleable. My thoughts permeable, and my spirit movable, and my soul is no longer a prisoner of my present condition. A seeking heart is the place to be for those who wish to be forever fresh. It's not just for pastors. The Lord is always waiting to meet with you at the one that is in your present location. And this relationship is facilitated by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that makes this happen. He is the one that makes this real. He is the one that turns this from nice little poetic words to a living experience, a reality. And that is the bonus that comes with eternal life. But let's not sell short the eternal life. Because if we didn't even get that, this life is passing away. And we are not going to be here forever. And when these eyes close in death, we're going to all stand before Jesus. For those whose trash has been collected by Jesus, there's nothing to talk about but welcome. What else is there to say? The trash is gone.
Amen.
So there's no fear. There's no fear. And this is where we now move into the active part of communion. I want you to take the blank piece of paper that you have right now. Where are the ushers? You guys ready? Take the blank piece of paper that you received. I want you to write your name at the top. Don't worry, this is not going to be published anywhere. Write your name on the top. Everybody write your name on the top. And I want you to write two words. I want you to write, and I want you to underline these two words. Write, "My trash." my trash. Now, once you have that, I want you to put your pen, put your pencil down. Wait for a couple more people. Okay, my trash. Your name at the top, my trash. Now I want you to take the paper, I want you to ball it up. And now, ushers, I want you to do your thing. What I'm going to have you do is walk individually in line around the cross, and I want you to put your trash in the bag. Ushers. And then we're going to have communion. I want you to think about it when you do it. That what you're doing is putting your trash that you have collected or that you have created, that Jesus paid for, in the only trash bag that can contain it for all eternity. You know, as I was having a moment as you all were coming around, because most of you, when you dropped that for most of you, many of you, when you dropped it, and there just this smile just broke across your face. And it might have even been involuntary, might not have even known, but just seeing the faces of all of you marching past the cross and recognizing that we're going to spend eternity together. Not just those of us in this room, but everybody who has ever named the name of Jesus Christ. Every person who has said yes to the trash collector.
Hallelujah.
Is going to stand before him and glory in his name. It's going to happen. It's going to happen just as certainly as we came to this place and assembled this morning. There's an assembling day coming when we stand before the throne of the living God, realizing that we have nothing to fear.
Amen.
This is why we have communion. So as we take the bread and the cup, where is your trash? Where is your trash?
Come on.
Where is the trash you created this week? The trash that you will create next week is already in there. The trash that you will commit for the rest of your life is already in the bag. Because Jesus died for sins for once, for all time. That's why we have communion. You know, when you think about what you're going through in your life, practically speaking, all of us are in different places. All kinds of stuff is going on. We're praying about stuff. And as I wrote earlier this week, we pray about stuff, but we don't really know how prayer works.
Yeah.
We kind of know. People have said that there's three answers that you can get from God. Yes, no, or wait. But there's really many more. There could be yes and, no and, wait and, yes but, no but, wait but. And then you add to that he will answer sometimes before we even call. And you add to that sometimes he knows what we're asking for before we even ask. And the possibilities for answered prayer are unlimited. And many times, because of those variances, what finally shows up when he answers is sometimes so much different than what we anticipated that we don't even recognize. And when we do recognize, we say, "Thank you, Lord, I didn't know you were up to all that." But whether we can see it or not, the scripture says God demonstrates his own love toward us.
That's right.
Amen.
In that while we were
yet sinners.
Yet sinners. While we were making a mess all around us, Christ died for us. That's the bottom line. And that's the launching pad for our faith. That's why we can trust God no matter what's happening. That's why we can say, it is well with my soul. That is why we can say, even if he slay me, yet will I trust him. Come on. We can say that because we know he loves us. How do we know that? Because he took our trash.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
And greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And so communion, you think about all the things Jesus could have told us to remember. But he just said, do this in remembrance of me. Break the bread. Take the cup. And whatever else may be going on in your life, know that I love you. Know that I love you because I died for you. Remember me. Remember my investment in you that took me to the cross for your sins. So ushers, when you come forward, please pass the bread and hold on to it until everyone's been served, and then we'll do the same with the cup, and then we'll have a final song and we'll be done.
Amen.
When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us.
That's right.
And that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the demonstration of your love. We thank you for the constancy of the reminder that you have made it well with our souls by your sacrifice, that you have made us spotless and blameless before you. And Father, as we leave this place, we ask that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, refresh our joy.
Yes.
Refresh our joy.
Yes.
In the truth of what has taken place in our lives because of you. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.